Well, good morning and welcome to Emmanuel. I see and hear we still have a number of people in the foyer, so we'll let them find their way to their seats. But welcome to all of you. Glad to be together. I'm glad to be with you this morning. Looking forward to our time as we worship God together in this room and sing praise to his name and hear from his word and then bless and encourage one another as a result of our time together. You know, this summer as a church community, we've been making our way through the Psalms. We began on Memorial Day and are going through Labor Day. We're reading two Psalms a day and 10 Psalms, Monday through Friday, 10 Psalms a week. So we've got 15 weeks. We're going to read all 150 Psalms, and then we gather on Sunday and we hear from one of those Psalms and that set that we read for the week. Last Sunday morning, we read, and our message was on Psalm 67, where the theme of the message and the theme of the psalm was, God, bless us for the sake of the nations. Bless us for the sake of your name and your renown around the world. And I was reminded that in 2021, I think it was last year, Emmanuel Bible Church, along with a coalition of other churches, sent out a new missionary couple to North Africa. We call them John and Anna in all of our communications. That's not their real names, but we call them by those names because they're in a location where they really ought not be. But they're there learning the language, learning the culture, and beginning to find their way among the people there. And we sent them out in 2021. They had to come home just recently this summer for a short little stint. And while they were here stateside, some of the members of the mission team got to meet with them, but they were not free to come and share with us on either a Sunday or a midweek. And the schedule just didn't permit it. And so we asked them if they would just do a brief video and send it our way, which they've done. And we'd like to begin our service this morning just by watching it. It's only a couple minutes long. It's not a professionally done video. It's done by a smartphone held on a hand. And they're going to give us just a real quick update. Want you to hear from John and Anna as we begin our time together this morning. Well, with that introduction, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we've gathered together this morning for the sake of worshiping you. We acknowledge and recognize that you are worthy of receiving our praise and worthy of receiving our songs and our prayers and our confidence and our faith. We also acknowledge this morning that you are worthy of a worldwide fame, a worldwide renown because of who you are and because of what you've done. And so we acknowledge that and are glad to partner with you in the work that you're doing around the world of advancing your fame for the joy of all people. Father, we pray this morning for John and Anna. We are glad to partner with them. We pray that you would continue to bless them as they seek to learn the language, give them great effectiveness in that, give them also patience as they persevere in that difficult work. Pray that you would continue to bless their efforts as they not only learn the language, but begin to establish networks of relationships with the people among whom they live. Father, we're grateful to hear of a small band of believers that are already gathered there. We pray that John and Anna might be a great source of encouragement and help to them. Pray that you'd give them wisdom as they live for you in that context. But we would desire to see the church planted and flourishing there. And so we pray to that end. And again, I pray that you would bless us for the nations, bless us to continue blessing people like John and Anna. Father, again, we're grateful to gather this morning. We pray that as we sing praise to your name, you would certainly receive our worship through song. We pray that you would give us an attentiveness to your word as we open it in just a little bit, that we might hear from you and examine your greatness in our own lives in relation to you. And I pray that you would also use this as we seek to bless and encourage one another as a result of our time together this morning. So for all of these things, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Emmanuel Bible Church. My name is Kyle Sissel. I'm one of the elders here at Emmanuel. It's my pleasure to read from Psalm 78 this morning. It's the longest psalm of our reading. However, I will not be reading all 72 verses. I'll start with verse 1 and read through 8. This is the CSB Holman version. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known, and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide from them or hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And then the psalmist goes on to give a myriad of examples of when people were not obeying God and conforming to his will for their lives. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word to us. We're thankful for your love for us. And we're thankful just how awesome you are. You are truly worthy to be praised and given all the honor and glory, Father. I pray that our praise to you is pleasing to you, and it will continue to be as we continue singing as a congregation. I pray that it would edify one another as well in the process. Father, I just pray that as a church, we would just be faithful to this message, to continue to teach our young ones and the next generation, Father. I just pray that they would just be a generation that loves you. And I just pray all of us would just conform to you, Father. I just pray that we would conform to the image of your son, Jesus, who is your image, Father. We just love you, and we just praise you for this church and praise you for the spirit that you have given us, Father. I just pray that we would just be faithful to serve you, Father, as well. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, this summer we're reading through the Psalms. We're reading two Psalms a day. Monday through Friday, 10 psalms a week. This past week, we would have read Psalms 71 through 80, which means we would have passed the halfway mark of our summer series. And the psalm selected for this morning's message is Psalm 71. So if you take your Bible out and find your place there with me, we'll be ready when we arrive there in just a moment. Psalm 71 is a prayer of an older person. Psalm 71 is a prayer of an older person who is in the midst of crisis. Now, I know many of you think I'm old, and appropriately so. I have grandchildren. How can you not be old? I have, Lynn and I have seven grandchildren. Lord willing, we'll have the eighth one a week from this Wednesday. Wednesday, I think it's the 27th at 11 a.m. They schedule these things now. For eight grandchildren under the age of four, which is remarkable. But so many of you think I'm old because I'm a grandparent, but I have living parents, living father, living mother, and they're elderly. My father has just recently been rehospitalized, been in and out of the hospital quite a bit lately. And in this most recent hospitalization, he was re-diagnosed with a return of cancer. This time the cancer is inoperable. They can't do radiation. They did that before. Chemo will be ineffective. So they didn't even do a scan of the body to determine how far and widespread the cancer is, because they're not going to treat it anyway. So he was sent home from the hospital on hospice. My dad is 87 years old. He's beginning to see the end of his race, though it's still a bit of a mystery. Last Sunday morning, as we were gathering for worship, as we were coming here and gathering for worship, my mother was being rushed to the hospital. So I finally had to just shut off my phone, because the text messages just keep running through, and we're going to do that through the whole service. But we were gathering here. My mother was being rushed to the hospital. They diagnosed her with a dissection or a tear in her carotid artery, which isn't a good thing. They gave attention to that. She spent the better part of the week in the hospital. And so she's come home on prescription medication she's never been on before. My mother is 84. She'll be 85 later this year. I think the greatest crisis for her this past week was the hospital was so boring. She was in the hospital till Wednesday, got out Wednesday night, went to work Thursday and Friday. That's how my mother rolls. Have you ever listened to the elderly pray? Have you ever listened to the elderly who are in crisis turn to the Lord in prayer? Well, Psalm 71 provides us that opportunity. In this psalm, the psalmist who penned the psalm, he is praying to God, and part of his prayer is a reflection on his past experiences with God from the time he was young, even from the time he was born. And we read this and we hear about the author's past experiences with God and how that has become a real blessing to him in the present crisis and also with his future outlook. We read the psalm and we discover that God has made him see many troubles and many calamities. And God has also been his refuge time and time again. And we read that in the prayer. Illustratively, my elderly parents have been in, and they presently are in, a time of crisis. It's a medical crisis. It's a health crisis. They've been hospitalized. They're receiving treatment. But the crisis of this elderly person in Psalm 71, it's not a health crisis. It's a relational crisis. He has people who have turned against him, and he has people who are forming coalitions against him. Relational crises are the worst. We would rather be unhealthy and loved than healthy and unloved. Relational turmoil, relational conflict is horrible, it's stressful, it can make you unhealthy physically. And that's the case here. The elderly person who is praying in Psalm 71, even though they have been an outstanding citizen, even though they have been an exceptional model to many people, an example to many people, though they have been a faithful model that many have followed, this elderly person has known people in the community who are attacking him, slandering him, seeking to assassinate his good name and good reputation, and falsely accusing him. These accusers, these slanderers, these cruel people is how he references them in verse 4. These cruel people, they are causing this relational crisis that this elderly man is in. And it's this relational crisis that he's taking to the Lord in prayer. So how does the elderly man pray? How does he respond to this crisis? And what are his expectations? What does he actually think is going to happen? Well, we're going to read it in just a moment. As we read the psalm together, and as you follow along as I read it, pay attention to the references to age. He's going to reference his birth, his youth, his old age. He's clearly elderly now at the time of this writing. Pay attention not only to the references to age, but pay attention to the references to the crisis that the psalmist is bringing before the Lord, and then pay attention to the response that he has to the crisis, because not only is the elderly man praying, he's also engaged in some activity that is going to serve him very well. Well, before we read the psalm, let's look to the Lord in prayer ourselves, and then we'll read this psalm together. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We need your help. We need your help to hear and understand the psalm and to even give our attention to it. Make this time of meditation upon your word a real benefit to us. Grow us in knowledge, increase our faith, and bless us for the sake of future generations. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've had you turn to Psalm 71. Follow along as I read. It's a little longer than most of the psalms that we've read on Sunday morning, so you're going to have to give your sustained attention to it. But verse 1, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together, and they say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth, you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You, God, who have made me see many troubles and calamities, will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Oh, God bless the reading of his word. For my thinking and for this message this morning, I've taken this psalm and I've broken it down into four categories for us to work through it. I'm going to give you the four categories. Don't try to write these down all at once. We're going to go through them sequentially. But here's the four categories as we think through Psalms 71, this prayer of an elderly man who is in crisis. First of all, the psalmist himself is exceptional. The crisis is relational. The psalmist is vulnerable. And then finally, our concluding point, confidence in God is both timeless and foundational. Well, let's begin at the beginning. The psalmist is exceptional. We read the psalm, as we've just done, and we quickly understand from the psalmist's own self-description that he is now elderly. He calls himself old and gray-haired in verse 18. His strength is spent, according to verse 9, and he has had the experience of many troubles and many calamities, verse 20. So he has been down the road of hardship. He knows what that's like. In this prayer, like many elderly people do, his prayer reveals a reflection and a meditation on his younger years, particularly his walk with the Lord. We know from the way he prays and from the description of his activity that he has had confidence in God all along life's pathway. That's huge. That's what's made him exceptional. From birth to youth to old age, he has been leaning on the Lord and building his life upon the Lord. We see that particularly in verses 1 through 6. He has been familiar with God's righteousness. He has been familiar with God's activity. He has sought refuge in God continually, and he knows God to be his strength. And again, he has personally experienced God's deliverance, his many salvations. As we read here, we discover that God has permitted the troubles in verse 20. You have made me see many troubles and calamities. God has permitted the troubles, and he's used those troubles to develop this man's faith and character, his hope and his praise. God has been his rock of refuge and his fortress all along the way. With God as his continual help and hope and praise and confidence, God has made him. God has made him exceptional. According to verse 7, it says, I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. That word portent, that's not terminology we use anymore. What does that mean? Here in the middle of this prayer, he acknowledges that he has been a miraculous sign. This old man in the midst of crisis is a portent to many. He is a miraculous wonder, pointing people to God, because he's leaned on God all along the way. This man is an exceptional model, a faithful example. This guy is a standout guy. And what has made him stand out is God himself, and his relationship with God is what has made him stand out. He is a portent, a wonderful sign. According to the psalm, as we've read it together, God has been his refuge, his righteousness, his rock, his fortress, his hope, his praise, his help, his redeemer, his rescuer. This guy has leaned on God from the womb. He even says, from before the womb. I've been leaning on you, completely dependent upon you. And I've learned your righteousness in my youth, and now even in my old age, I'm still leaning on you. He's done it all along the way. That's absolutely remarkable. Not many of us can say that. Not many could say, hey, God, I've been leaning on you from the very beginning. But this guy can. Some of us came to faith in Christ and confidence in God much later in life. This is a guy who we would be introduced to him, and he would say, I don't ever remember not knowing God. I've known God from the start, and I've been leaning on him my whole life. And he has taught me his righteousness, and I've been leaning on God, and I found him to be my refuge and my high tower all along the way from birth to youth, now even into my old age. This guy is an exception. He's remarkable. God has made him such. This guy doesn't stand out because his life is trouble-free. No. This guy doesn't stand out because he's the most popular and most liked man around. No. This guy stands out because at every stage, God has been his savior. His hope has been in God, and the praise of God has been continually on his lips. While this guy is a standout model of God-centered faithfulness and a wonder to those who observe him, he's not without trouble. He has enemies. The crisis is relational. You know, there's an old proverb, goes like this. If you're going to stand out front, you're going to get kicked in the rear. How do you like that? This is a stand-up guy. This is a stand-out front guy. He has been a portent, a wonderful sign to many, a faithful example. But if you're going to stand out front, you're going to get kicked in the rear. And this applies here. We learn from this man that longevity and faithfulness does not eradicate attackers, accusers, and slanderers. We learn from this guy, he's now old and he has a long record of faithfulness, but he still has people seeking to knock him over. The battle just doesn't go away. This is a huge lesson for all of us. I think many of us have this delusion that the more faithful I am to Christ and the longer record I have with walking in faith and growing up in the Lord, the trials are just going to get easier. And the challenges are going to go away. We learn from this man that he's an old man and he has a long record of faithfulness and he still has people accusing him, slandering him, seeking to take him down, forming coalitions against him. And relational crises are the worst. A characteristic of human brokenness is to not learn from exceptional examples, but seek to undo them. How broken. It's like if we don't have their record, then we'll do our best to tarnish their record, not amend our own. The soul that is miserable with his own condition, instead of learning from the one who has confidence and hope in God and faith in God and thankfulness to him, will seek to bring them down to their level through false accusation and slander, shameful slander and personal attack. This guy who has been a rock, this guy whom God has made exceptional also knows what it is to have enemies surrounding him, slandering him, attacking him, forming coalitions to bring him down, and relational crises are the most difficult. We go one step further. The psalmist is exceptional. The crisis is relational. The psalmist is also vulnerable. He is a human. He's a man. He's not impervious to the accusations and attacks. Not only is he just a human, but he's also old. His strength is spent. He doesn't have the resources or the reserves of youthful energy, nor does he have longevity of time to set the record straight. People are accusing him. People are making accusations of him. People are seeking to destroy his reputation. He's an old man. He doesn't have a long time to set the record straight. He's vulnerable. Beyond the attacks on his character, these enemies, according to verse 10, these enemies are saying God has forsaken him. God's no longer for him. And we read the psalm and we understand that his prayers and his thinking reveal how this untruth has seeped into his thinking and his praying. He keeps saying, God, don't cast me off. That's what they're saying about me. God, don't cast me off. God, don't forsake me. God, be haste, make haste to help me. Be not far from me. Oh, we learn from this. This prayer reveals that the faithful senior needs God as much now as he did when he was young. Young and lacking. Young and learning. His wisdom, his impeccable record, his longevity of faithfulness is not going to get him through. He needs the Lord. He needs God as his high tower and his fortress and his refuge, because apart from that, he'll topple over. This faithful senior needs God during his senior years just as he did when he came out from the womb. That's how dependent upon the Lord he is. His need for God doesn't diminish with a long record of faithfulness. Interesting to take note that this faithful senior is learning again because God has taken him into the crisis. God's put him there, according to verse 20. You, God, you who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. This faithful senior is learning this lesson again because God has him there. And God is using this present difficult trial to develop his faith even further in his later years. Remarkable. God perseveres with his children all the way to the end. He will continue his work in conforming them into the image of Jesus Christ, and this man knows it experientially. So here's the psalm. The psalmist is exceptional. The crisis is relational. The psalmist is vulnerable. He's looking to the Lord. Finally, our landing place. Confidence in God is timeless and foundational. If you go back and read the psalm, which I'd encourage you to do, the psalm begins with confidence in God, and the psalm ends with confidence in God, just as the psalmist's life begins with confidence in God and ends with confidence in God. As we read the psalm, we discover that the confidence plays out in the life of this older saint. It plays out in hope, a confident expectation of a glorious future. It plays out in praise. He's continually praising God. It also plays out in communicating God's righteousness to the next generation. As I said at the beginning, the psalmist is doing more than just praying. He's not just taking this crisis to the Lord in prayer. He's doing more than just praying. He's also praising God continually, even in the midst of the crisis. He's not just praising God. He's also communicating the righteous acts of God and his great deeds of salvation to the next generation. I find this remarkable. He's not defending himself. He's just simply telling the next generation all about the God whom he has known as Savior from the birth, from the beginning. You read this psalm and you get a feel for the psalmist's relationship with God. In the midst of crisis, his hope in God is not diminished, his praise of God is not diminished, and his passion to tell the next generation about God is also not diminished. I'm struck with this, that this elderly saint isn't just praying, he's praising God publicly, and he's purposely telling the next generation about God. This is a huge lesson for us. Huge lesson for us, particularly those of us who are senior. Faithful seniors don't just bless the youth with the retelling of God's wondrous deeds. They bless themselves with the necessary retelling of God's wondrous deeds for the shoring up of their own faith, particularly when they are attacked and in crisis. The seniors don't just bless the youth by telling the youth about the wondrous acts of God. They're blessed as they reflect on God's mighty acts historically recorded in the Bible and personally, what God has done for them. The next generation hears, and the seniors have their faith developed and strengthened. Seniors who distance themselves from the next generation. And I think we've probably all seen this. Have you ever been to a church where it's all gray hairs? It's all seniors. Any of you ever been to a church like that? You go to a church and it's all gray hairs. They've stopped interacting with those behind them. And the church looks like the seniors' preferences and the seniors' way and the seniors' ministry, and it is a senior ministry. The seniors who distance themselves from the next generation, stopped interacting with the next generation, stopped communicating with the next generation, they don't just jeopardize the faith of the next generation, they miss the blessing of their own faith being shored up with the retelling of who God is, what God is like, and what God has done historically, and what God has done in their own life, their own personal story. Reading this psalm has reminded me of this tremendous lesson. The psalmist is in the midst of crisis, and it's a terrible crisis, and he's vulnerable, he's human, and he's elderly, and he takes this to the Lord in prayer. He has confidence in God, but he's not just praying. He's also telling and communicating it to the next generation. So this psalm has greatly encouraged me. I'm old. I'm growing older. And I'm reminded from this psalmist that my troubles won't eradicate with longevity. My difficulties are not going to go away just because I've faithfully walked with the Lord for the last 20, 30 years. You know, God is still working in my life, and quite often it's going to take crises and challenges and hardships that are going to thrust me upon Him and give me an opportunity to experience God's goodness and grace and deliverance and have another story to tell. So I'm reminded that I'm old and my troubles won't be eradicated with longevity and longevity of service, and there will also never be a shortage of accusers and trouble. I learned from this psalmist. Keep leaning on the Lord. Keep leaning on the Lord. Keep remembering His revealed faithfulness, both in the Scripture and personally. And then finally, for me, just keep ministering to the ones who are coming behind. Keep ministering to the young. Keep ministering to the next generation. If I live to be as old as my dad, if I live to be as old as my mom, I probably won't qualify to serve as a youth pastor. As a church, we're recommending David Mullett as an associate pastor for youth discipleship, and we have a meeting tonight, and we'll vote on him at the end of the month. But even now, I don't have to live as old as my mom or dad to not be qualified to be a youth pastor. Those abilities and energies have left me. But I pray that I'll learn from this untitled psalm that I'll keep leaning on the Lord, keep remembering His covenant faithfulness, recorded in the Scripture and revealed in my own life, and I'll keep my eyes on those behind me and ministering to the young who need to hear from a man who needs to share about a God who will be known, who will be known. You know, also thinking about it, not only was I personally instructed and encouraged and helped, but I also was reminded that here at Emmanuel Bible Church, we have a number of exceptional seniors around here. We have an army of exceptional seniors around here. Seniors who show up long beyond their ability to show up because their presence is a testimony. Their presence is a story and a testimony that we need to hear. My grandfather, I've shared this with you in the past, my grandfather came to faith in Christ late in life, sold the farm, went and got his GED, went to college and seminary and became the pastor for the latter part of his life. But in his congregation, which is only 3 miles down the road from where I was born and raised, there was an elderly man who came to his services every Sunday. And this elderly man was not only elderly, but he was greatly diminished in both sight and in hearing. He was could hardly hear anymore, and his vision was impaired to the point where someone had to drive him to church. And my grandfather asked him one day, why do you keep coming? Why are you here? You can't hear the service. You can't see, somebody even has to drive you here. Why do you come? You know what his answer was? I just want to keep telling the world and reminding myself of whose side I'm on. Remarkable. We have seniors who show up here long beyond their ability because their presence is a testimony. We have seniors who participate in getting those seniors here. And we also have seniors who are just faithful in telling the next generation the mighty acts of God. Beyond grandparents to grandchildren and parents to children, we have a number of ongoing ministries here to the youth at Emmanuel Bible Church. We have the nursery, we have children's church, we have moms next, we have Awana, we have youth groups, young adult ministries, and I'm amazed that I examine those ministries and see the army of seniors who are engaged. If it weren't for the seniors, those ministries would not happen. So I'm so grateful for an army of super seniors who recognize, we have a responsibility to tell the next generation the mighty acts of God so that they might hear and so that I might be reminded. So that as I go through the next crisis, I'm reminded of what God has done both historically and what God has done in my life personally. The next generation needs to hear it, and I need to hear it for my own faith to be shored up. I learned this from this psalmist. It's been a real blessing. I am also just reminded of the fact that it's just a tremendous blessing to pastor a multi-generational congregation. It's exceptional to have a full nursery and to have a full seniors ministry and everything along the way. It's just a tremendous blessing, and I praise God for it. I pray that we might continue to benefit from our godly, faithful seniors who are engaged, and I pray that we might continue to raise up the next generation of young people who will know and understand and love the Lord with all their heart. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are greatly instructed and encouraged by these Psalms. Grateful for this untitled Psalm that has been recorded and written down and preserved for our benefit of this elderly man in crisis. Grateful for his testimony of faithfulness to you. Grateful even more for your faithfulness to him and how you have led him day by day and have been his source of confidence, hope, and strength. For Father, we learn from him. It's what's true of him is true, can be true for us. Yeah, you are our righteousness, our high tower, our confidence, our hope, our help at every stage all along the way, and our need for you and our dependence upon you will never diminish. May our praise of you continue, and may you continue to equip us and encourage us to share the faith with those who come behind, that they might hear, and that we might be encouraged and built up. Father, continue to teach us your word and lead us to yourself through the scripture. I pray that this next week, as we read the next set of Psalms, that each and every one you will use to minister grace to our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next Sunday morning, we'll read Psalm 81 through 90, and we'll choose another psalm for next Sunday morning's message. I do want to remind you that tonight is our fellowship reception. We're going to hear from David Mullett. The elders have made the recommendation for him to serve as an associate pastor for youth discipleship here at Emmanuel. He's served for the last 5-plus years in our junior high and senior high ministry, so we're well acquainted with him. But the elders have been looking to take on additional ministry staff. Many of you recommended David to us, so we went through an interview process, and a part of that continues tonight, giving you an opportunity to hear from him. I shared with you last Sunday that you need to come and be encouraged by his testimony. David was born and raised Amish. He left the Amish community. Leaving the Amish community, came to faith in Jesus Christ, has gone off to Bible school and has now been here for the last number of years. But you need to come and hear his story. There's so many elements of his story that so many of you think you know that don't know. I'm looking forward to interacting with David tonight. I'll leave it there. We got a lot to share. And come, we've got some interaction that we'll do with him, and you'll get to know him better. And then at the end of this month, Sunday night, July 31st, is going to be our member meeting. It's our next quarterly member meeting. We're voting on new members. We'll also be voting on David that night for the associate pastor position. I want to encourage you not only to put tonight on the calendar, but the member meeting, because when we vote on pastoral staff, we need a higher quorum, and we also need a higher vote. Pastoral staff don't come on at 51%. They need a higher vote from a higher quorum. So come and participate in this whole thing, as it is significant in the life and ministry of this church. So participate in that. A number of other announcements that are in your bulletin will allow you to read those and benefit in the ministry here at Emmanuel. But let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed with God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we come before you again in prayer and grateful that you hear us and know us and love us as you have expressed that perfectly in the giving of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. We're glad to be united to you through Christ and united to one another. We pray that you would continue to bless us as your people for the nations, bless us as your people for the sake of the next generation. Keep us faithful to your word, keep us faithful to you, keep us growing in love and grace toward one another. Bless now our fellowship with one another as we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That meeting tonight is at 6 o'clock, so we'll see you back tonight at 6. God bless you.